Welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you join with us. Today, Jim Barber will be continuing in his series from Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 26, with a message entitled, Mind Your Step. Father, bless your word, we pray, and strengthen us through it. Receive praise, honor, and all the glory we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm reading from Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 26. The Apostle Paul writes, For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, dispute, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I warn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. The Apostle Paul says, mind your step. How many times have you seen that? I'm thinking especially on a bus as you are exiting, or perhaps over some barricade or some barrier, and there is a sign that says, mind your step. Watch where your feet are going. The apostle, he speaks to the Galatians in the very same way, and he is coming towards the conclusion of his letter, this first vital letter of his, which was addressed to the churches of Galatia, the believers there, who were caught up in a legalistic trick. It was a desire of false teachers to have these believers think that they could add something to the grace of God, that our salvation was somehow solidified by them, the men being circumcised, and by all of them keeping the law of Moses from the Old Testament. The Apostle Paul says, you have been saved by grace through faith, and there is nothing that you add to that salvation. You serve indeed as thanks for what you have fully and completely received, but the works that we do in service, that contributes nothing to what Christ has done upon Calvary's cross for you and for me. Mind your step. The apostle, in each of his letters, he first of all lays out doctrine. He lays out the reason for why he would later speak to us about how we live. The gospel has very practical, moment-to-moment and day-to-day implications for us. It is not something we carry in our head and heart alone. It is something that affects the very thoughts we think, the things we speak of, and how we speak of them, as well as the things that we do, how we use our funds, how we use our time, how we use resources. So first of all, the letters of Paul and each writer of the New Testament, they lay out doctrine for us, and then there comes a practical outworking of that, and that is where Paul is now as we come to the conclusion of Galatians chapter 5. Mind your step. It's about 6 months ago since my mother, at the age of 99 years and 6 months, took her leave of this world. Mum, it always intrigues me that she lived to such an age, coming up on 100 years of age, because when she was born on the Southern Ontario farm so long ago, there were two doctors in attendance, and they could not get Mum to start breathing. And one doctor said, "Well, it's very sad that this young couple, their firstborn, is not going to be a living birth." But the other doctor continued on, and Mum started breathing. And for 99 years and 6 months and so, she kept on breathing and lived a very full life indeed. At Mum's passing, I was thinking about so many things, of course, thinking back over my entire lifetime and her impact upon my life. I was thinking most especially about her concern for my feet and how that I walked. And I especially remember her taking me as a young man, as a young boy, downtown Winnipeg. And there would be, of course, the Bay, Hudson's Bay store, and there would be the gigantic Eaton store, as well as between those two titanic rivals, there would be a whole lot of other various stores that we would stop into on an excursion downtown, like Kresge's and the Metropolitan. I'm sure that some of you, those names jump out at you, but they're gone. They're completely gone now. But my mum and I, wherever we would start, either we would start at the Bay and work our way east, or we would start at Eaton's and work our way west along a corridor filled with all kinds of retail outlets. And mum was concerned with her son that he would walk appropriately. I was not usually very impressed with some of the things that we had to look at. And so I would drag my feet and I would scuff them along the stone or along the concrete. And I remember as clear as day, Mum saying, "Pick up your feet." And the expression, the way in which she expressed her displeasure, it said it all. Mum clearly found it unacceptable, and the emphatic tone was ringing clear, and so the next few steps, at least, were completely silent with my knees lifted high. I also remember that my mum taught me that a young gentleman of what she hoped I might be should always walk on the street side of a lady. The reason was just in case someone decided to throw the contents of a chamber pot out of an upper window, a man would take the blast and the lady would hopefully come away unsoiled. And so, me as the young gentleman in training, Mum, she would be on the building side, and I would always be careful to position myself on the street side in a dignified way, hoping not to get the blast of the unfortunate event. It never did happen, I'm glad to say. So Mom says, pick up your feet. And then she says, watch where you are walking. Are you on the right side? Then also, as I was growing up, I remember that huge old red brick church building I attended for the first 12 years of my life. It was actually a weird conglomeration of at least 4 different buildings. As a result, there were all kinds of passageways, and there were hallways, there were stairways that went this way and that, as these buildings had come together in rather a jumbled fashion. And there were 11 separate points of egress, doors going outside in the weirdest different ways. And after a church service, I, as well as some of the other young boys in the church, we would run. We would run through these hallways and passages and up and down the stairways. And it was not, there was nothing more horrible in my mom's thoughts than that I would run in church. I don't know why we were running. It's just that we had this energy and we were there to burn it off after having sat, hopefully very quietly, in church for a time. Well, Mom could see through walls somehow. I would come to her after this experience, which happened essentially every week, and I would come, my hair would be wet and matted down, I would be panting, I would be sweating, and Mom would say, "You have been running." Nothing that I could say could speak for the innocence that I desperately wanted to have. Somehow Mom knew. And even though I said, "No, Mom," she knew better. Well, Mom, in various ways, she was desperately concerned about my walk in this world. And I thought that put Mom in very good company. The Apostle Paul, as he was writing to the Ephesians, was also very concerned with their walk. 6 times this is pressed home. Paul reminds these believers in chapter 2 and verse 10 of Ephesians, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." As the Lord's prisoner, he pleaded with the Ephesians to walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called, and walk not as Gentiles walk in their vanity of mind. Chapter 4 and verses 1 and 17 of Ephesians. These believers are directed to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and as light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 2 and 8. And finally, Paul instructs, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Paul to the Ephesians, and here also, as we read to the Galatians, he writes the very same thing. He is concerned about how that their witness for Christ is being played out, it's being acted out, it is being lived out here in this world. The word walk is not simply the motion of feet, but it is how we are conducting ourselves, how we are moving through this world, and how we are seen in that walk. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and then also verse 25, Paul is concerned about the Galatians minding their step. He is very concerned that they be concerned not about the flesh, but rather about the Spirit. Paul says, I say, walk by the Spirit of the living God. Jesus was the one who said, God is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit. The woman at the well to whom Jesus was speaking, John chapter 4, she was concerned about geography. Is it right to worship God here on this mountain in Samaria, or should we transport ourselves down to Jerusalem? Is that the right place to worship? Jesus, he responds by saying, look, you need to get your eyes off of the geography of this world and the things which this world rivets its attention to, and you need to consider the things which are of supreme, surpassing importance, that is, the things of the Spirit. So Paul, chiming in, right in line with what our Lord says in that sense, Paul says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. And then verse 25, he says, if in fact we live by the Spirit, and the response is, yes, we do live by the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, and that is true, let us also walk by the Spirit. The Spirit of the living God comes upon us, and it is through the Spirit's quickening. It is by the Spirit convicting of us of our sins and leading us in righteousness, of opening our eyes to spiritual realities, that we come to know Christ and His wonderful salvation. And so Paul says, if we live by the Spirit, and most certainly we do, if the Holy Spirit had not come to me and had not come to you, fellow believer, then we would still be dead in our sins. We would be completely undone. We would be lost for all eternity. If we live by the Spirit, and most certainly we do, then it simply makes sense that the next step follow along. Paul is writing to those who had started off in the Spirit, and they thought that having begun in the Spirit, they could then make progress in the flesh. It's just as foolish as to think that we can begin in the flesh, that somehow we can save ourselves, and that we can make progress in being pleasing to the Lord by walking in the flesh. If we begin in the Spirit, we must move forward in the Spirit. We must walk. We must dwell. We must abide in the Spirit, and have the Spirit continue to lead us forward. In Hebrews, we read that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is of the Spirit of the living God. And if we are to be acceptable in the presence of God, that is, if we are to be in right relationship with Him, it must be of the Spirit, and it must be of faith. Now, walk. Mind your step, the apostle is saying. With this in mind, let's now take a very quick view of what the apostle says in this second half of Galatians chapter 5. Paul says, you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Through love serve one another. The psalm asks the question, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word, is the response. That's the answer of the psalms. The word of God helps to protect us. Freedom is a wonderful thing, but along with that freedom, there comes a responsibility. Along with the gift, there comes an obligation to use the gift in a wise manner. How many have received the gift of freedom, freedom of various kinds, financial freedom or freedom from various forms of bondage, but they have not known how to handle that. And the apostle, he's looking at these people and he's saying, you have come into wonderful, glorious freedom. It was God's gift to you. Now be wise in how that you employ that. Don't lose your head. Don't be foolish in the use of your freedom. He says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Just as the word of God will protect us, whether it be a young man or an old man, whether it be a young woman or an older woman, the word of God will be a protection round about us. How do we use our freedom in a wise and appropriate way? Paul, here he says, don't turn your freedom into license or into an opportunity for the flesh. The devil would desperately love to help you to use that freedom that you might live as close to the world as possible. That is a strange thing to a believer in Jesus Christ, that they would ever hear someone say, well, look, I haven't crossed the line. The point isn't, have you crossed the line into sin? The believer, they want to stay away from that which in any way is displeasing to their Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. And this is what the Apostle Paul pleads with them. If you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. He's saying, love and serve one another, and you will guard your freedom. Paul then gives a dramatic contrast. These believers had been allured by the flesh, and there is much in the flesh that can be alluring, because to think that we can help God plays very pointedly to our pride. Pride is ever there, eager to balloon. And Paul, he says, be careful. The flesh sets its desire against the spirit. The flesh would want to step forward and brazenly and boldly take the spotlight. But the spirit is also against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another. You may not do as you choose. You can't say, well, look, I'll take 50% of the spirit and 50% of the flesh, then I'll have the best of both worlds, and won't it be fun? They will devour one another and you in the process. You must walk completely by the Spirit. Paul, he says, the deeds of the flesh are evident. It's plain what they are. And he gives quite a list here. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity. And on he goes in a horrific list of what the flesh will unfold. But he then says, in stark contrast, in the most radical contrast, there is the fruit of the Spirit. You see, there is the deeds of the flesh, there is the work of the flesh, and then there is the fruit, there is the beautiful produce of the one who is attached to the vine, Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And Paul, he comes to the conclusion by saying, those who belong to Christ, those who belong to Christ have crucified. Earlier in Galatians, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul, he's speaking to those who he trusts are walking with Christ, who desire to be right with Christ, who have laid down their lives, who have surrendered themselves, taking up their cross and going after the Master, even as Paul himself had done. Paul says, those who belong to Christ, and there is no greater privilege than to be a Christ follower, because heaven is on ahead and the Spirit dwells within. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, and most certainly we do, let us naturally, let us consequently walk by the Spirit. And let's not become boastful. You see, there's pride, challenging one another, envying one another, but let us delight in the Spirit of the living God. Bow with me in prayer. Lord, we give you thanks and praise that you speak to us about how we should mind our step, how that we should walk faithfully with you. Oh God, I pray that your hand would be upon us in all of these things to strengthen us, help us, open our eyes that the flesh, it counts for nothing, Lord. It will drag us down, but Lord, help us to walk by the Spirit. Help us to move forward in the Spirit, knowing that you have done such wonderful things by your Holy Spirit in us. Receive praise, honor, and glory. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Hearts to Believe. For over 20 years, Jonathan Kvist has been the bass in our men's quartet and has also been a rich blessing through his solo work. We are delighted to announce a new collection of 13 songs Jonathan has especially enjoyed singing and has himself chosen for this CD called Blessed Assurance. You will enjoy hearing Jonathan sing I'd Rather Have Jesus, In the Sweet By and By, Just a Whispered Prayer, I Need Thee Every Hour, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Leave Your Heavy Burden at the Cross, Something Beautiful, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, Written in Red, What a Day That Will Be, The Old Rugged Cross in both Russian and English, Someone Is Praying for You, and of course the title song, Blessed Assurance. Ask for your free copy of Blessed Assurance when you write this week to Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C2H6, or call us toll-free at 1-833-367-3852. Hearts to Believe is an extension of the Faith to Live By radio and television ministry based in Winnipeg with Pastor Jim Barber. We leave you now with the Apostle Peter's benediction. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.